to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a
sing it unto him now.
Lord, prepare me
to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Amen. Is that what you want to be? Sanctuary for the Lord. That's what our desire is. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. If you'd like turning your scriptures, turn to Daniel 9. And then turn, we've been on 24, and then we'll read from Revelations 20, at 1 through 3. I want to try to continue on what we were talking about Sunday, and, you know, so we'll just title this. This will be message number 17 of the series that we've been on, and we'll just title it Binding of Satan. But it's the 70 weeks of Daniel, message number 17. So, good to be in the house of the Lord with everybody. Hope you've had a good week and everything, and looking forward to the Lord speaking to us. Because I always are. You know, I'm always dependent upon Him to do the speaking. And, you know, that way everything's great. Let's pray before we read our scripture. Father, we thank you for your grace and your love. We thank you for all things, Lord, and we know that you give us all things freely. So we thank you. And we know that you will provide, because you always have. You've always made a way when there didn't even seem to be a way. You've always come on the scene and made manifest yourself when it was impossible seemingly for the things to take place, but yet you would make it manifest. We're looking forward to it, Lord, because you promised it. We ask you now that you'd just bless each one and just guide each and every one of us, forgive us of our sins, let our hearts be set on you. And keep us now. As we read your word, you come and speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we've been on this for a few services, you know, comparing the things that are relating, you know, comparing what's spoken to Daniel and to the people, the children of Israel, comparing it to us and seeing that really they were speaking of us. It doesn't matter if it's even after we leave, they're still speaking of us, because we're the keystone, we're the key note of the whole thing, because we are the bride of Jesus Christ. And we're the ones that the Bible is speaking of. Right. 70 weeks, verse 24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. So now let's go over to Revelations 20. Verse 1 through 3. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should not deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be finished or fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, As I said, I want to title the message tonight, Binding of Satan, because the prophet, when he was covering the part there where we were talking about to bring in everlasting righteousness, then he said it could not be done until Satan is bound. All right. So when Satan is bound, then you can bring in everlasting righteousness, and that's why that he has to be bound, you know, before the millennial reign, to where that it can be brought in, you know. And that way then we can know for a surety that in the, you know, that part that we won't have to worry about him, but yet he'll be there, because then, as we've read in the scriptures, he'll be loose for a little season after the millennium, you know. But now, what were we dealing with? You remember Sunday when we were trying to bring out about the binding of Satan, and Brother Branham said he's not chained with a log chain. He said he's chained by a chain of circumstances. All right? Says he has no one to work through. Now, there'll be plenty of people there. Right? But he won't have nobody to work through. All right? See, now that is the thing that we're trying to get to see. But I gave you the first quote back over again from paragraph 1093 of Questions and Answers in 1964, 830. He said that the reason that Satan cannot do anything is that all of his subjects, all of his subjects are in hell. Alright? Now, if we could ever get to see that part of what he's trying to say, it would help us see where we're at. Now, if all of his subjects is in hell, then there none of his subjects would be in the millennium. Even though you got a heathen to come up, even though you got the 144,000 to be there as servants to the bride, and you got some of the Old Testament saints evidently to be there, because we're to sit down at the welcome table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, so there must be some of them there. But yet, they're not counted his subjects. Now, see, church, we're in the world. Jesus said, I am not of the world. It's on the copy machine. It really is not needed, but go ahead and pass it out. They can have it. I don't know where we'll get into that, but we'll do it. See, if we can just see, my point was Sunday, see, that the prophet said, bring in everlasting righteousness. He said, that can't be done until Satan's bound. Now, it doesn't mean you couldn't bring in righteousness. The righteousness to the bride is here. But what is he saying? He's making a specific point, and so is Gabriel to Daniel, that to bring in everlasting righteousness means Satan can't be there at all. Right? He won't have anybody to work through. All right? Now, that'd be a wonderful thing to think of right now, wouldn't it? But why can't we think of it? See? Now, are we his subjects? See? Now, I thought we believed that all of the teaching of the Lord Jesus about the kingdom and, you know, the tares and the wheat and the things was to show us that there is two seeds. One of them is the seed of the devil, and the other one is the seed of God. Right? Now, then, one of them is the subjects of the devil, the other is the subjects of God. And sure, we all begin our life's journey because we were born in sin, shaped in iniquity, espoused from our mother's womb, go forth a liar. And as we do, we were the subjects of Satan. Huh? We were actually more closer kin, according to the book of Ruth, with the kinsman redeemer the prophet was speaking of. And we're actually born kinfolks to the devil. So we were born as his subjects. We deserve to go to hell. But yet, through Jesus Christ coming and giving us a new birth, now in our soul, we are no longer the subjects of the devil by the new birth. Now, our body and our spirit is still in the domain of Satan, but our soul is already eternal by the new birth. All right? And see, we're living out here in a world that Satan, you know, he thinks that he has control of it. And sure, we can say, like, you know, that he took Jesus up on the mountain, showed him all the kingdoms, and said, I'll give you these if you'll fall down. You know. But yet he doesn't own anything. The prophet said, at Calvary. Now, Satan was stripped of all the power he ever thought he had. He didn't have any because he's not a power. Now remember, we went through a message with that. But he stripped him of everything that he thought he had. You say, yeah, but Brother Dale, my body and my spirit is still in Satan's domain. I agree with you, and I know. But just remember, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ was in this domain also. And that Satan could tempt him in his spirit realm. All right? See, he could talk to him. But yet Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh, Satan, and said, hath nothing in me. All right? But what did he use to overcome? You see the key of what it is to all of us. What did Jesus use to overcome Satan? The Word. Not a gift or anything. He just said it's written. And Brother Branham, I was just looking at it today where he said Satan can't stand against the Word. He can't stand against the revealed Word. Now, not the letter. Jesus wasn't just the letter. He was the revealed Word. He was the live Word. Alright? See, then we know that Satan, he's totally powerless against a Christian. He cannot bring upon us in his domain things that can destroy us unless God permits it. As I told you, God don't have to permit a bad cold, or, you know, we're getting older, you know, and we're getting more problems every day. Now, Satan don't have to go ask God for permission to do that. That's just part of getting old. I think we ought to get that settled in our mind instead of thinking, well, I got another gray hair. That's that old devil. Yeah. No, see, that's just part of life. But see, Satan is totally powerless. I gave you a quote there from page 8 of The Greatest Battle Ever Fought, preached in 1960, that Brother Branham said, Satan must have someone to work through. He's totally powerless without anybody to work through. He covers on there how that, see, that's what he said when they come before him there, you know, and the demon said, if you're going to cast us out, you know, at least let us go into something. So there's swine there, and he just turned them loose to go into the swine. Because, see, they couldn't do any damage. There is no such thing as a spirit being able to do anything to you. He might make you do something to yourself. As we talk about the drunk with the pink elephants, you know. But there is no such thing as a pink elephant. But you see, we are scared of the devil and afraid to stand forth and call his hand. Because, hey, look, I know for a certainty, you know it too, that none of us are a match for the devil. Sure. But I thought the new birth put my soul in another kingdom. A kingdom that Satan cannot overcome. He cannot do anything to us in that kingdom. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. But when are we going to start believing that? See, what we're doing is we're, you know, I had a little talk this week, and I hope it'll come out in the right order, that what we're doing is we're afraid, and what we're afraid of is we're afraid of what's been taught us. The Catholic Church, see, taught a purgatory. They took the Bibles away from the people. All right? And when they did, they taught them a purgatory that doesn't exist. You know what I mean back there with the Bible and as much as they had. See, purgatory doesn't exist, but yet it's still holding the world, and there are millions and billions and trillions of dollars every day being spent on trying to get somebody out of purgatory. But we say we don't believe that anymore. Oh no, we don't believe in purgatory. But what are we afraid of? Why are we afraid? Satan's got to have someone to work through, or he can't do anything. And the prophet said the Holy Ghost must have someone to work through. Now, when are we going to get off of the bandwagon with Satan and allowing him to do all of it and start realizing who we are? The first seal shows Satan a bluff. Got a bow and no arrows. He's a total bluff. The only thing, now I gave you that, I'm just coming down, you can read you, no, that's number three. Number four of your notes is which, just one more time, Lord, 1963, 1:20 in the evening. Satan's only power he has is to get us to reason on God's Word. Trumpet gives an uncertain sound, 63:0-1:14. Satan got Eve to reasoning. Now, he does have that ability to attack you and I in our spirit realm, and God permits him to do that, and to try to get us to reason. We don't believe, as I said, in a purgatory. We say, no. We don't believe in purgatory. But we're still scared of dying. Why? Why is it that we're afraid of dying? If we are a born-again Christian, why should we worry about anything? I mean, the prophet has given us the message to tell us that all death can do is hook to you and pull you to glory. Amen. I'm not talking about going to the doctor and the doctor says you've got cancer and your body quivers a little bit or you shake or you think, oh. But just don't reason on that. Because there's no difference to God in a cancer than a common, ordinary, bad cold. You mean there's something big that God can't heal? I thought it was paid for at Calvary. I thought by His stripes we were healed of all things. And I thought, even like the prophet said, when he preached the message, he was like, do you fear cancer? That was the very thing that God told him, said, that angel told him, said, cancer won't be able to stand before you if you'll believe it and get the people to believe. But see, we reason when 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, bringing into captivity our thoughts. See, we're to cast down reasoning. But that's one of the senses. Reasoning, memory, conscience, that's one of the things Satan works on. But he can't work in your soul if you're born again. But see, some way we've got to bring that's within us, you know, the new birth, out into the realm of what we call the spirit realm or something. To where that we can deal with situations. That's what I was trying to get us to Sunday, see. Is to try to get us to see how that Satan, if Satan can't be bound by you and I, then there won't be a millennial reign.
Right, right. Amen.
There won't be a casting out of the devil over there. But you see, it's already finished. You and I are afraid of something that has already, it's already finished. And if death does take me, don't put over my tombstone that I died. Put on there, how you doing, Brother Dale? Wonderful. Because I've reached my goal. We always say, you know, we're around funerals, and I wonder how many people really believe that. But, you know, you go to a funeral, you look down the casket, and you see somebody, and you're talking to the people at where they died. And I'm not throwing off on nobody. We're all human. But what's the first thing you say? Well, they look good. That don't mean it either, because they don't look too good. But what's the next thing? They're better off than we are. Right? And they are, if they're Christians. Right. Now, if they're not, they might be in bad shape. But if they're Christians, they're better off than we are. Sure. But I wonder, does the person believe that's standing there saying it? You know. Jesus, as I said, used only the word. Satan can't stand for you to quote the word to him. I mean, you get into trouble to start quoting the scriptures to him. I used to, Brother Schrader, I liked the way he had to say it. He said, you know, because he believed in divine healing and really, you know, stood for it and sickness and all. But he'd say, Satan, look down through my eyes and read that. You look through my eyes and read there where it says, by His stripes I'm healed. But you see, we think that bringing all into captivity is to mean that we will not have no more thoughts. Now, did that ring a bell? Is that what you thought about that scripture where it says bringing all of our thoughts into captivity? Or casting down reasonings and all like that? It means you just get to a place that you just never will reason no more. You're going to get to a place that you'll never have another bad thought. Now, that's a lie of the devil. You say, well, I got word of the prophet. Said, yeah, keep reading too. Keep reading. As long as we're here in this realm, we can never stop that reasoning factor from working in our mind. See, we can't stop thoughts from coming. See, Brother Moat saw that in me years ago, he saw I was burdened. And he told me one day, he said, Brother Dale, he said, you're trying to stop the thoughts from coming. I said, well, yeah. He said, you can't do it. He said, just don't entertain them once they get there.
Right, right.
Just don't do it that way. He said, just turn it right back around on Satan and just say, well, Satan, I wouldn't do it if I could. If I had the opportunity, I wouldn't do it. Then he don't know what to do with you. The prophet of God said that it was possible for you to live so close to God till Satan wouldn't know what to do with you. Do you believe that? Well, I believe he could. See, there you go. Well, maybe in a way, Brother Dale, we could do that. No, it's not to try to stop our thinking. That's not going to bind Satan, it's to stop your thinking. Hey, it'd be nice if we could. That'd be good if we could. But we can't, so why? We can't go that away. God has never tried to stop, now listen to what I'm saying and get it right. God has not tried to stop us from thinking. Because he knows we're going to do it. But he's tried to show us how to bring those thoughts into captivity. How to bring our thoughts into captivity, bring them into control. Because Jesus couldn't stop the devil from tempting him. He never tried to. See, he knew that he couldn't stop him in his inroad. And Brother Brown said, there in the garden when the fall came, he said, Satan chose the mind. He said, but God chose the heart. All right, Satan now chose the mind, the memory, reason, conscience, and all. That's not your brain, mind, like that. What's he saying? Satan chose those reasoning factors because that's what he'd done to Eve. And that he knew, now listen, I'm quoting Brother Branham, he said that if he sees something work, in other words, if he tries something and it works, he said he won't lose that. He'll stay with it. So he saw the fact. See, he couldn't get Eve to say there wasn't no God. He couldn't get her into the realms of humanity, of the things. He had to get through her reasoning factor to bring us to the humanity part. But he was trying to find a way, and he did, through her reasoning. And once he did, that's what he's used every time. But God is not trying to figure out no special way of doing something. Because he knows what done it the first time. He knows Eve got out from behind the Word. But Adam didn't. Adam stayed fortified behind the Word. Until Eve done what she done, and then in love and all, with his memory, reason, conscience, and affections, and that, sure, he went into sin. But God has given us His Word. Like I've tried to get you to see over and over, I said, how are you going to get virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, but how are you going to get it? It's only by the revealed Word. The revealed Word brings God's nature. Because that's His nature. What was His nature? It's written. What should be our nature? It's written. That's what I don't understand about the people of the message. Oh, just run after anything. When they can't even find it written or nothing. They have no basis to even find it. You could understand if they had a little basis. They're worse off than the people that come up with the Trinities or something. Because at least in that you can say, you know, these three are one or something. But you don't even have any thoughts whatsoever for some of these doctrines of the people of the message. Like I've told you, I don't blame the devil for everything I do. These people say, oh, the devil made me do it. No, the devil didn't make me do it. He couldn't make me do it. If I done it, I done it. Sure wasn't God that made me do it. We need to get on to the point of seeing what's going on. Because God has waited on somebody, the prophet said, to take His Word. He's never tried to get us into a religious realm of goody-goodies. You know, to just not do anything wrong. Now see, that's hard for people to understand because they think I'm saying something wrong there, but I'm not. God has always dealt with what we do. He always dealt with Israel, like I told you over and over there, 10 times before they got to Kadesh Barnea. 10 times they murmured and complained. But then when they were done that, God was still taking them to the promised land. He never said a word about them not going. But when they got over there and saw those giants and said, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. We can't do it. What was that? Sin. Disbelieving God. And when it did, God turned them back and said, all right, you'll die in the wilderness. Why? Because their reasoning had went beyond the realm of just natural doings. Sure, anything that's contrary. The Bible said anything's not of faith is sin. That's why the prophet said we sin daily. But we got to depend upon that atonement. It doesn't make you perfect to not do wrong. Well, I never done that. I never done that. I never done that. That don't make you perfect. Makes you a good neighbor. Alcoholics Anonymous can do that with you. But it's dependent upon what God says in His Word to take the atonement. Well, Brother Dale, we've believed in the atonement ever since Calvary. Well, could I ask you a simple question? If you say you've always believed in the atonement taking your place, why did the prophet have to preach so much to try to get us to see the truth of the Word of God? Why didn't we understand that without him? Yet he had to preach the exact thing, and you know it's true, of what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying is true, that the prophet never put any emphasis upon how good we are. Because he said on the Hebrews here, he said, I'd hate to think that I'd have to go, you know, if I'd 5 minutes old and some merits that I'd go to heaven. He said, because I'm born in sin. Sure, we know the atonement and babies go to heaven, but he's trying to get a point across. Those Pharisees could not have had one thing against them in the proof of lying, because if it wouldn't, it'd have been killed. Paul standing there said, I'm a Pharisee of the Pharisees, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Concerning the law, blameless, he said. Now, if that's right, and I believe he knows what he's talking about, then there was no law that Paul broke. Or he couldn't have said that. He'd done what the Word said. He didn't do what the Word said don't do. He was blameless according to the law. But he said, what I thought was salvation, you know, that, of being right, he said, I found to be death. He said, then I'm the chiefest of sinners. He wasn't talking about chiefest of sinners because that he was persecuting the Christians and stuff like that. He was chiefest of sinners because he was the closest to the truth. But then when he seen it, he said, it's not all of that. He said, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. If I have any righteousness whatsoever tonight, it's in Jesus Christ. Now, I hope you understand that, because I know the word translated there can be translated eternal. But I hope you understand the point I'm trying to make. If he brings in everlasting righteousness by the binding of Satan, you know, if that's what takes place, the binding of Satan, then God can bring in everlasting righteousness to Israel, right? Alright. Well, don't you think by the opening of the Word that he would be bringing to you and I now eternal righteousness? No. Eternal righteousness. Then unless your righteousness exceeds the scribes and Pharisees, you can't go in. So how could you exceed what Paul said, that he is blameless? What could you exceed when the Pharisees would stand there and say, concerning the law, I'm blameless? The word righteousness means the right act, in other words, doing right. So you can have a self-righteous righteousness to say, I haven't done it. But that's our righteousness. And the Bible says that's filthy rags before God. Paul said, being found in him, not having mine own righteousness. But believing what he said. In Jesus' temptation, I said, to combat Satan, he would say, it is written. It is written. We can't stop Satan from coming into our minds, because Jesus didn't stop Satan from coming into his mind. We're not expected to stop Satan from coming into our mind. Now get that right. Get that right now, folks. Don't say, well, it don't matter then what I do, what I think, what. Now don't get that right. We're not playing garbage cans. You know what I'm talking about. We can keep Satan from coming into our minds in a lot of things. Now listen to what I wrote down here. We cannot stop Satan from coming into our mind and tempting us. Now watch. But we can stop his attack of the word. See, that's what's been the wrong down through time. Satan brought man to the basis of reasoning upon God's word. He said, Brother Dale, but I don't reason on it because, you know, I just say what it says and all. And that's like I was talking about Sunday. What I was trying to illustrate Sunday about those people out there. Seeing 250 priests get burned up by fire. Seeing the ground open up and devour thousands of people. And it says in tomorrow, the next day. The next day they come running to Moses and said, you killed the people of God. That fear never lasted 24 hours. Now somebody got them people to reasoning. You remember what Dathan and Korah, go back there and studied a little. I listened to Brother Richard the other day talking about. You know what Dathan and Korah them told Moses? Moses, you told us we was going to a land of milk and honey. We are here in this desert dying. We don't even have no water, don't have no food, don't have nothing. This ain't the land of promise. We're better off back over there. But you see, they couldn't wait. They couldn't wait to go in. Even after they turned and went 40 years, they couldn't wait. And that Moses had trouble with them 40 years till all of them old ones died off. The prophet, I gave it to you on page 85, Christ the Mystery of God Revealed. He said, we have Satan's answer. What is Satan's answer? The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ into our hearts is Satan's answer. The revealed word of the hour that we're living. Not just a letter of the word. The revealed word is the answer to Satan. He can argue with you about the letter because the prophet said, as long as it's laying on the pages, it can be questioned. But once it's in your heart, it can't be questioned. I wish you'd go back there in 63 and listen, I mean, excuse me, 83, and listen to what I was preaching on the seals. And just listen to what I was trying to say. Because see, I saw the coming of the Lord was the revealing of His Word. And I saw that on Calvary was the ending of His first coming. His first coming was complete on Calvary. And He said, it's finished. That was the end of the Old Testament. That was His first coming. And 10 days later, He started His second coming. Or 40, 50 days later from that time, maybe. He started His second coming. The prophet said, in the bride coming of Christ, coming out of the church. He said, and Luther is part of the rapture. Amen. Then he says, we're part of the word and must be revealed. Right. I think that's 74 Christ the Mystery. Right. We're part of the word and must be revealed. Do you know what? Luther, part of the word. He had to be revealed. Maybe he didn't even see it back there where he's at. But when that prophet come in this life, Dave, through his message, he showed exactly where Luther was at. And showed he was in the rapture. See, we say to the people of the message, oh, we're in the rapture. We're in the rapture. Oh, we're in the rapture. We've been in the rapture a long time. But I'm looking for the coming of the Lord. I thought that, I thought the Lord himself was descending from heaven with a shout. I thought that's what we called a part of putting us in the rapture. But you see, oh, we're so quick to quote. But what are we quoting? We're quoting the word instead of quoting it. The coming of the Lord is a revealing of his word and been taking place ever since he started coming back there on the day of Pentecost. But now listen, I'm saying it this way on there because I'm talking about the revealed word. When I talk about the word of God, I don't talk about the letter. If I do, I'll tell you it's the letter. I'm talking about the revealed word. You know that Martin Luther, there's no telling how many times he'd read "The Just Shall Live by Faith." Do you know that there was a lot of people before Martin Luther ever come on the scene protested the Catholic Church? But what was the difference in Martin Luther and the rest of them? The Lord descended with a shout. The Lord descended in his message. The Lord come in his message. That was the coming of the Lord. What? The revealing of the word. John Wesley. John Wesley come to America to convert the heathen. Talk to the Moravians, or however you pronounce that word, and they told him about sanctification. But you know what? The Moravian doctrine of sanctification was not the coming of the Lord. But when John Wesley caught the message and preached it, that was the Lord right there. How much more sure should we stand in the last days with the word this prophet has brought us? And to see that the Lord is here, or he cannot bring his message. See, many people on Azusa Street, many people before them were speaking in tongues and signs and wonders was taking place and all that. But when the one-eyed black man come out there, it came down. That was the coming of the Lord. Sure, the others were talking about the Lord and the coming of the Lord, and but there was the coming of the Lord. What church am I trying to get you and I to see? We are. Inside of us is the word of the hour that we believe, the token. That is the coming of the Lord. Satan can't do anything with that. He cannot stop God from making manifest his word. You know why? Already written. God can't change it. Already written. It was written before the world. That's where the quote I was giving you, where Brother Branham was talking about how that you know, that there's no sin imputed to a Christian. He said, because your back gets like it was before the world. See, before sin entered the picture. That's what the new birth does to us. It puts us in that place that we can see it. But now listen, you know yourself. Think of this. Before we heard of this message, we were scared of the devil. Was afraid of him. Oh, be careful now. Be careful. Don't say very much. You might make the devil mad at you. I told you what it was doing to me, and I was in that condition. You've heard me tell it before, that I could walk into a room with a sick person and get sicker. Just me walk in, they get sicker. Kid could be just running the temperature or something. Walk in the room, they just start vomiting, they start all kind of things. Grown ups, everything. Until it bothered me, until I wouldn't go in the room. Because I said, something's wrong. Because when I walk into the room, it gets worse. I said, I just won't do it. I just won't go in there. I'll stay out here and pray. See, the Lord come to me one day and He said, what do you think's going on? I said, well, what? He said, when you walk into the presence of the sickness gets worse. I said, what do you think's going on? Then He showed me that what it was, that that devil couldn't stand just that presence that I'd walk in there. He couldn't stand that. Did it get worse? But I stopped that. I just, it wouldn't matter to me if you had an army trying to stop me from getting in the room to pray for somebody. I'm going to get there. I'm going to pray for that person. Why? Because at least I can call his bluff. Now, if the first seal shows him a bluff, why can't we at least we call his bluff?
Right. Amen.
Well, the devil get after you, and sickness is going to come your way. Who are you trying to scare?
Right. Right.
You wouldn't have that thought if you knew what I'm talking about. We're not going out here. You know I don't do it. Devil, I challenge you. I challenge you, devil. Devil, I challenge you. I'm not that way when I pray. Why do I pray? I said, Lord, you said it. I believe it. By your stripes, I'm healed. By your stripes, a person's healed. You just make it manifest now. You don't have to holler and scream. You just got to know what you're talking about. All right, but now listen. Jesus used the word against Satan. Not the letter now. Right. You see why that in our day the full word comes into view. Why would the full word? See, we're not dealing with restoration. That's promised in the Word. We believe that. But this message of the hour goes beyond restoration, you know, like restoring the faith of the fathers. We believe that, don't we? Why did it go that way? The revealed Word of God, the full Word, came in our day to defeat Satan. The prophet there, when he went into, after the seals broke, he said the Bible became a brand new book.
Right.
Like I told you one time, show me one believer in the Bible that was defeated.
Right.
Show me one that was defeated. Some of you come up with David and all of these. I said, that's not even as bad as what I think. I told you about Saul and how terrible he was and all he was doing. Wind up going to a witch because God won't answer him. But you know what that witch told him? Sure, Samuel come up. Do you know what was told him? Today, tomorrow, Samuel said, you'll be with me. There wasn't no defeat. There's never been a believer in the Bible that was defeated. Did you think we can be defeated? All the Word has been brought to us to show us we can't be defeated. That's why it was brought to us, to show us we can't be defeated. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Not a quote. Not a letter. But when you know, like I told you that where it says, you know, I know my Redeemer liveth. That word know has no doubts whatsoever connected to it. It has no form of thinking or reasonings or anything to it. It means it's done. I know. You see why, though, that the people of the message are defeated? because they're trying to face Satan with a letter? Yeah, but Brother Dale, they got more healings and things out there. Sure they have, and they got them right over there too. Do you know why they got them right over there? More than we got right over here? It's because we're still reasoning on God's Word. We're trying to find some rabbit in a hat trick that will defeat Satan when he was already defeated at Calvary. Now that's what your prophet said, he was defeated at Calvary. When are we going to believe it? Alright. See, the letter of the Word tells us we're free. The letter of the Word tells us we're free. The letter of the Word told man that the just shall live by faith. Come on. Is that right? Does the Bible say that? The Bible says that the just, you know, that they're free because of a revelation, is not because of quoting it. I remember reading of Martin Luther when he said it, and I wrote it in my Bible. He said it like this: the just shall live by faith alone. By faith alone. Why? Because it was revealed to him. Now, it just struck me sitting there listening the other night about it. You know that Brother Branham calls the Catholic legalist? Why would he call the Catholics legalists when they look like they're the most disgraceful people there is? Because they can just go down and pay the price and go on out and do what they want to do, and they're done forgiven before they get there. But he says they're legalists. Now why is he saying they're legalists? Because you see, they can't get that okay to do that without paying a price. Right? They got to pay a price to get that. So anything you can pay to get something, you're a legalist. It doesn't make no difference how much you think that's disgrace. You're a legalist when you pay to get something. Why don't that priest say, you're forgiven, you don't owe no money? No, he's not going to do it. You don't have to do nothing. Go home. Your sin debt is canceled. Now what does he say? You got to pay. You got to say. You got so many novenas to do. You got so much to do. See, they're legalists. But Martin Luther saw that the just shall live by faith. He saw the revealed Word. That's what Satan don't like. But that's Satan's answer that the bride wants, is the revealed Word. See, we think, I'll repeat it again, we think that we can stop Satan from coming into our mind. We think we can stop him from making us reason. Jesus Christ never stopped him coming in. He just let him come in and then quoted the Word to him. Well, now listen, what I'm saying is, when are we going to get to the place that we can... That's why everybody knows they like to get hold of my Bible, because I write down now what the prophet says beside of it. You know, the Scriptures. Well, you know why I do that? Now, there's no such thing as arguing with the devil that the prophet said it. Don't get me wrong in what I'm saying. But there's one thing about it. When that prophet told us what that Bible meant, what it was saying, what was really there, that's what I'm telling the devil. And I'm not just saying that. Brother Brown said it on page number so-and-so. I'm like Brother Maloney said when he put that TP beside the the Scriptures. And that's what's all MTP's about. He said, tried and proven. That's why I know what justification is, because I've experienced it. I know what sanctification is. I've experienced it. I know what the baptism of the Holy Ghost is. I've experienced it. I'm not dealing with quotes. It will never take place in you and I to stop Satan from coming. But the prophet says we have the devil's answer. When he comes, just quote the word to him. Like the saying is of a lot of people, you know, that when the devil starts reminding you of your past, just remind him of his future. You know? You don't ever do that? When he comes to tell you about what you've done wrong, you know you've done ask forgiveness and put it on the blood, just tell him about his future, because his future is written in the Word. He's going to be destroyed. He's going to be annihilated one day. Now watch. We must believe what the Word says about us. That's where everybody, that's what Luther said. You ask Luther, so what does the Word say about you? He said, the just shall live by faith alone. Luther, you got problems? Yeah. And when it was revealed to me that the just shall live by faith, I found out I had a whole lot more problems. Because I saw his righteousness. You can't stop Satan from coming to you in your mind. That's where the greatest battle ever fought is at. But just take the Word and talk back to him by the Word. I remember when I was preaching there in 82 and 83, and I'd always been concerned about, because I couldn't see the end of all things. And I preached in 1979 through the seals in the series, you know, and I wish, you know, it'd be hard to find them. They're somewhere down in the thing, I'm sure, but I really enjoyed preaching the series, but it was like at the finish of it, there's something wrong. And I thought, well, what is it? And I prayed, and Lord, what is it? Along about somewhere in 82 there, the Lord showed me, then at the seventh seal is the end of all things. And the seventh seal was them seven thunders was under that seventh seal. And the seven thunders is the voice of God when the seal breaks. So he said, something's been going on all this week. He said, it's been the angels of the Lord, which was the voice of God coming, the thunder each day, the angel come to tell him what that mystery was. But then I said, well Lord, I know that's right, but he said, and the seventh seal is the end of all things. And I pondered over that thought for a long time. One day, he come to him and spoke to me. He said, when you see the first seal end, he said, the second seal will open. He said, that's the end of the first seal, is the opening of the second. He said, like stair steps. Okay. I still don't see all of it. You know. He said, yeah, but said the ending of the second seal is the opening of the third. And I began to see that it was a revelation, progressive growth, development of revelation, what he was talking about to me. And he said, then when you come to the seventh, he said, that's the end of all things. I said, in other words, I thought, well, Lord, then that's what was going on all that week, wasn't it? And see, I'd preached it back there and didn't know, because I preached and showed you that there was only one seal to be broke in the Bible. Six seals was broke back there and written in the language and put in words. But the seventh wasn't written. But it was broke. 2,000 years ago in glory, it was broke. But it was the coming of the Lord, so that's why Jesus didn't know his part in the kingdom. That's why he couldn't tell you. He couldn't tell you. That's why, why he said, he said, nobody knows the day nor the hour. He said, I don't know it. Nobody knows it. He said, only the Father. But Brother Brown said, when he comes to the book of Revelation, he said he's gone back to where, you know, I come from God, I go to God. He said he comes to John knowing the very day of his coming, knowing exactly when it would take place. But you see, then it's the revealed word. See, the seventh seal is his coming. See, that's why he connects the angels and things together. Because where was it? What was the coming of the Lord? Now listen to what I'm saying, and you'll see it all tied together with the angel. No. Paul was a messenger to the first church age, right? That was the coming of the Lord. So much he said, you'll be judged by my gospel. He said, if anybody comes and says anything contrary to what I'm saying, he's let him be accursed. It don't matter. The Father said it didn't matter if an angel come from heaven. He said, let him be accursed. See, then you can tie the angels with the ages and the things together to seeing the opening of the seals and knowing really what happened. But when this last day messenger came, Jesus one day said, it's finished. That was the end. That was the end. It's finished. When are we going to believe it's finished? We're still fighting a battle. You go to... Forgive me. You go out and you hear these other preachers and they preach so fiery and so much and they get you to feeling so good and boy, you come out and say, boy, we tackled the devil tonight, didn't we? Boy, I can just see that old devil running out of the church tonight. About as much as that man told Brother Moulton him. There was some people back in the old days, you know, back in the tent ministry. Brother Moulton told me one time about, said this, he heard this preacher saying, they were Trinitarians. And the tent people were Trinitarians. And some people come among them passing out oneness tracts. Said that preacher got up there and said, I'll tell you what I done. I got so mad. He said, I grabbed him by the seat of the pants and the back of his neck, and he said, I run the devil clean out of the tent. He run the truth out of the tent and called it. But he was so engulfed in his thoughts till he thought he run the devil out. And maybe he should have let the man that had the tract have the pulpit. Are you listening? See, those who have the new birth, you can never sin in your soul. That's why the John says it. His seed remaineth in and he cannot sin. You can't sin with your soul because it's eternal. But your body and spirit is still in Satan's realm. But what we got to do is get that inside to come out to where we can bind Satan. And the only way we can do that is by the revealed word. You hear preachers and things, people doing it. Satan, I challenge you. Satan, you come out of that person. I challenge you, Satan. Satan, I challenge you. One down at a certain place, and a lot of you brothers know about it. And preachers are hollering and screaming, we'll stay here all night, or you'll go out. They didn't. The next night, the same lady was in the altar being prayed for, and they started talking like that again, we'll stay here all night. She said, you didn't stay last night. But they got scared. Right? Why? First thing, they let him open his mouth, because that gives him power among the people when he starts talking. Don't let that demon talk. Tell him to shut up. But you better be ready, and you better know what you're talking about. As a young Christian, I sat beside of a bed one day when a woman called me the devil and everything in the book. And she was pretty good sizable lady and pretty strong, and she could have whooped me all over the place. And I looked at her and I said, Satan, you're done. You're finished. Come out. She never had no more trouble with that demon. Sure, later on she backslid. That's right. I couldn't help that. I told her about it. She used to play the piano for us. I told her, I said, you're slipping. She said, I know it, Sam. But that thing that she was dealing with then never come back. Why? Because I didn't argue with him and I didn't fuss with him. She told me all about how I said, you ain't nothing but a pope, you ain't nothing but this, that, and the other. I said, we ain't worried about that. Ain't a bit concerned about your flattery words. And I wouldn't in the message, but just a year or something. But you see, I believed it then and I believe it now. The revealed word. I believe more demons are cast out of people by the preaching of the gospel than all the praying you can do. Now, I'm not against the praying. Don't you misunderstand that. Somebody on tape say, well, no, sir. We pray for anybody. We pray for everybody. But I believe more demons goes out by the revealed word that comes from the pulpit to where the preacher speaks from his heart. Because what drove the demons out of the people in the days of Luther was Martin Luther preaching the just shall live by faith. Come on. Because all he was trying to do was get them to see what was in his heart. And that's what put that demon out. Why did the prophet say, he said, insane asylums fill up whatever revival had ever come. Why? Because they get exposed. See, church, listen, you cannot fight the devil with your mind. Don't worry about your body. Well, if I could just get this body. Don't worry about getting your body under control. Your body has nothing in it to do anything in the world without your spirit. If not, why can you hit a man in the spine, break his spine, and his body won't function? Why? Because there's no way for that spirit to transmit through that body. It's got a break in it. But your body is nothing. People want to bring their body under subjection. Sure, we'd all like to come to a place to where that we didn't have problems, right? But you can't bring your body under subjection. Brother Dale, I've always been taught we could bring it up. That's where you've been taught wrong. It's your spirit. The body without the spirit is dead. You can't even hurt without your spirit. You can't do anything. Your body can, it's nothing. It's just moving organisms. That's what we try to do. Well, if I could just bring this body under subjection. Well, get to work on your memory reason. Well, now, wait a minute. You're getting in migraines now. I got a right. I got a right to think what I want to. I can believe what I want to believe. See, right then you know what you've done wrong. You got in the spirit. But it's a wrong spirit. But see, to bring in everlasting righteousness, Brother Brown said, Satan has got to be bound over there before it can be brought into the millennium. So it's got to be bound in you and I. And there's no need of going and hollering and screaming at him. He'll just holler and scream back at you. But just take God's word. and just keep saying it to him. You see, instead of taking God's word, and ain't nothing wrong, you know what I'm fixing to say, but you know there ain't nothing wrong with going to a doctor. But when we take what the doctor says over above God's word, and that doctor said, I'll take your kneecap off. I said, you won't take my kneecap off. He just laughed. I did too. I walked out of his office. I still got my kneecap. You know what? They hurt me now. You know what the old devil said? See there? That doctor told you you had crippling arthritis. That was about 30 years ago. I'm supposed to be hurt. I'm not accepting it. You know, I'm like Brother Forney. I don't want no rattlesnakes. You know, how he brings it out. Would you take a box of rattlesnakes? No, no. I'm not accepting any sicknesses. I just know we're getting older. And the older we get, the more problems we got. And I don't blame the devil for all of that. Because if we won't eat right and exercise right and do right, we deserve it. That's what everybody wants to do. They want to eat pork four times a day and then say, oh, Lord, heal my blood pressure. That old devil, he's running up my blood pressure. No, that old devil in you that's eating that pork's one's running it up. But you see, we would think, oh, yeah. Satan hates what now? Didn't the prophet say Satan hates the book of Genesis and the book of Revelation more than anything?
That's right. Amen.
Because the book of Genesis shows his origin, you know, troubles, what he's done. The book of Revelation shows the ending. When are we going to believe it?
Amen. Right.
But the least little thing comes along, oh, which is... Oh, we're afraid. We're just, oh, I think things is getting bad, brother. Amen. Come on, amen. It's getting bad. Amen. Why? Because that's what the Bible said it'd do. Now the Bible tells me to take God's word and face the devil. Like we've all talked about it, you know, be great one of these days, sit down and listen to Apostle Paul, won't it? Maybe about a million years and listen to him tell about what he saw. But you know what? Would it be a surprise to you if somebody, even your sisters or something, that you start wanting to listen and Paul say, hey, come on up here. Come on up. Come on up, Sister Lisa. Come up here and tell me what you went through and the lady you'll see in church age. Her and Terrence just got married, what, in 80 what? 82, she come up here listening to seals being preached. I was listening to that the other night because it was on tape talking about it. She didn't come in under some of the things that even some of you come in under of the softer teachings and that. She come in, she was out here sitting listening to the seals. But she stayed. She stayed. She may think, well, I don't have very much. There's one thing about it, she stayed when others left. I'd rather have that than anything else. Why? Because we might not understand all things. We might not understand the problems and the troubles, but there's one thing about it, we're in the message enough to know the truth. Quit yielding yourself to the devil and his ways. When he comes in, cast him out. When he comes in, says Satan, it's written. Well, I'm just not that far up, Brother Dale. Well, it's not very far up to be able to quote God's word. Martin Luther was an overcomer with the message of the just shall live by faith. You see, when Satan comes in, it's Satan. Okay, Satan. I mean, I talk to him. I don't, you know, of course, everybody, you know, you're not like me, and I know you don't do the way I do. But I'll talk to him. I ain't talking to the devil. I've talked to him many a time and a lot of people. Okay? But you know what? I talk to him in my own conscience. And I say, Satan, you got one over on me, boy. You pull me into a trap. You done something. You got me to think wrong. You got me to entertain you for a while when I should not have done that. But we got another round coming. We got another battle coming. I'll meet you again. You don't ever talk to him like that? No, I always talk to the Lord. Like I've always told you, you say, well, I know the voice of the Lord is so sweet and so soft and gentle, but the devil, he's remaining right there. Boy, you're messed up. You're messed up. I'll tell you that up front. You're messed up in your thinking. Because the devil don't never come to me rip-roaring, snorting. Sometimes the Lord comes to me pretty rough. How about it? Sometimes he tells me, sit down, shut up, quit acting like a baby. No, that was the devil that told me to do that. You don't even know. That devil comes to you, he's so sweet and so soft and so nice and so reasoning and so... He couldn't get you to think if he'd done it the other way. But see, the point of what I'm trying to get you at, how do we bind Satan? Binding Satan is by the revealed word. That word that's been revealed to you, it might not be nothing but the just shall live by faith. It might not be nothing but one God. But just take the word and just keep saying, okay, Satan, all right, Satan. Oh boy, you got a bad road. Because you're going to be destroyed one day. Just start singing. You get down and out and just start singing, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Like Brother... That'd have been Brother Lee Vale, I believe. And he said, sometimes we're too close to our problems, we can't even pray. You ever been to a place you couldn't pray? I've been to a place that I was just so down so far, I couldn't even pray. I've been down in the woods, sitting on deer stand. I just get where I couldn't even pray. I just put my gun over my shoulder, and just a lot of time holding the barrel, ain't even concerned with nothing else, just walking down through the woods. Well, I still believe God's word. Satan, you're defeated. Not even enough in me to be able to pray. Because if I start trying to pray, it'd just be... Because, see, God wants you to say that one thing. I believe God's word. That's what binds Satan. That's what binds Satan, is for you to bring God's word by revelation and say, it is written. And just go on. I used to read during the Bible, you know, and it you'd read one time and it'd say, like Jesus in his temptation, and it says at the end of that, it said, and the devil left him. I thought, oh Lord, wouldn't that be nice? I thought, I wonder how long he stayed away from him. He left him. He just totally left him. I read the next verse, and it was probably before the next day, he was already back. Probably hadn't gone but just a minute or two. Don't ever think that you'll live to the place that you're going to live so good that Satan can't have an inroad. because he'll come in there if nothing else, and he'll start telling you how good you are. He ain't never done that to you. He ain't never told you how much a believer you are. Well, I thought it was the Lord talking to me. I'm under checking. Because always watching, the one way you can tell the devil, whether it's him or soft voices or whatever, is just let him come in and let him start talking to you. But you watch him in a minute start talking like that, something, how great you are, how much of a believer you are, how great you are, how that you don't live like other people. Then you done caught him. See, you entertained him long enough, now you caught him. But now let me say it this way, and then I'll end it. You know, the prophet said, and I hope you understand these wordings to make sure, because there was nobody ever believed in repentance like that prophet. Right? Well, one day he said it like this. He said, sometimes when you do something wrong, he said, you don't even have to pray. He said, because you just feel and realize. He said, it's already gone. In other words, you just realize that's wrong, Danny. I mean, that's all you got to do, just realize. You know, wait a minute, I need to pray for it. Get it. No, you just say, you know, that is wrong. It's wrong for me to think like that. The prophet said, it's gone from you. Because that's what repentance is. We think we've got to get down, scream and holler, beg and plead and do everything as repentance. It's the attitude of heart. When you say, I shouldn't have done that. Sure, we may have to go to somebody else and tell them I'm sorry about what I've done. That's fine. You know what I'm talking about. But as far as what we've done, it's not counted. Because God knew we didn't want to do that. There's a lot of things the prophet said that you don't never hear nobody talking about. There's a lot of things he says that people don't want to talk about. But just one more time to say it. Now, how many times have I made this statement? God does not come to Israel to condemn Israel. He doesn't come over there to Israel to condemn Israel. He comes over there to tell them what he's done. That's the greatest condemnation could ever fall upon anybody's heart. It's for God to not tell you how bad you've been, but to tell you that he loves you. That's the greatest condemnation could happen to anybody's heart. He doesn't come to beat on them and scream and holler at them. He comes to tell them that they're set free. Now, in the second coming of Jesus Christ, the bride coming of Christ, coming out of the church, what would be the message? Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. I don't condemn you. In the second coming of Jesus Christ, coming to the bride, he doesn't come to condemn. He come to reveal through the prophet. Because I believe that's where he descended, was in the message the prophet brought. And you read the seal book and see what he brought out. Did he come in there condemning and screaming and hollering? No, he come in there telling us how righteous we are. It's a lot of different than what we think, isn't it? Come on, brother boy. Come on, musicians, listen. But I hope you understand. And I've said that every service and every day I've said it, that God doesn't come to Israel to condemn. He comes to Israel to tell them how righteous they are. Because he has put away the sin before the world ever begun. Sin was remitted from the bride of Jesus Christ before the world ever begun. Before we ever thought about doing it, it was already forgiven. That's hard to understand. I say it like this. to understand that, it takes a revelation. It takes a revelation of God's grace. Yet we quote, well, what is grace? Grace is unmerited favor, but I'm glad I didn't drink or commit adultery or do something like that, because God would have never forgiven me. Now, where's that in grace? You just crossed yourself. Grace is what God does. Works is what we must do. You say, we can't do no works. Now, you're quoting good, but keep quoting. You know how I teach it. You can't do nothing to get saved. I don't believe in that. I believe salvation's of the Lord. And I believe He accepts you and I. But after then, you're totally responsible for every move you make. And must give an account of all we do not ask for forgiveness of. That doesn't put it on works. That makes faith being works being faith expressed. Prophet said, well, if it's that way, I'd just live like I want to. He said, I do. Let's stand. He said, I do live like I want to. Go ahead, brother. Number 25 in the spiral book. Anybody has a need? The altar's open. Presence daily. I surrender. Do you? I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender. Do you believe? All to Jesus, I surrender. At His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. Do you? I surrender. All be my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Think of the words of the song now. All to Jesus, I surrender. Make me Savior, holy God. Let me feel the Holy Spirit, truly know that Thou art mine. I surrender. Do you? I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Let's just believe. Let's just believe. Let's accept. Our sister's asking for somebody else. So let's believe it. Father, we thank You for this. Because we believe it. That's all we can do is just say thank You, thank You, thank You. Because it's already finished. Because we accept it, and we believe it, and we thank You in Jesus' name. Just go saying, thank You, Lord, because we believe it. You can have what you ask for. See, when are we going to start believing it that way? Oh, to Jesus I surrender. I feel the sacred fire. Father, our brother's taking his prayer clause with him, Lord Jesus. He's going to be gone this weekend, flying up and back. We ask you to just be with him and give him fruit for the labor, Lord. And just he passes out these prayer clause, we pray, Lord Jesus, that they'll manifest the things that are asked for. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Just say thank you, Lord, because that's the point. All to Jesus I surrender. Our brother has a physical need of a bone spurs in his shoulder. So let's just believe. And let's condemn that in the name of Jesus Christ. But then go saying thank you. And then just, brother, one day I was, for quite a while, I got where I couldn't raise my arm. Especially one of them. I couldn't get it up. And I was walking one day. Peggy'd walk with me and she got where she couldn't walk. And I was still walking some. And I was walking around through there and I said, Satan, I've had enough of this. I know I'm not a match for you, but I know my Savior died for me and the price is paid. And every time I'd raise my arm, it'd just be a sharp pain, just going through it. I just started walking and just saying, thank you, Lord, praise the Lord, you know, and started doing my arm. And I mean, the more I walked, the harder I done it, and the higher I put my arms, and I just kept going. I just kept doing. And after a while, I realized it was up in the air. Sure, Satan tries now to come back and he tells, oh, that's, you got arthritis. So just face him with it and say, all right, Satan, we believe the word. Amen. Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we lay our hands upon our brother's shoulder. His left shoulder's bothering him, Father. We condemn that. Believe in your word that by your stripes, our brother is healed. We thank you. In Jesus' name. Just go worship him with it. Raise it and worship him. It hurts, raise it. Worship him and keep going. See what it happens. Anybody else? See, it's just believing what God says. Satan cannot. That's the one thing. I just quit on it. But Satan can't understand how you can be hurting and all kind of things, having to go to doctors and things like that, and yet you're saying, by his stripes I'm healed. He said, that lying bunch of people. But see, I'm a liar if I don't say what God says. People say, well, but Brother Dale, I'm hurting. If I said I wasn't hurting, ain't nobody told you to say you wasn't hurting. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't hurting. You don't want me to lie, do you? No, I want you to tell the truth. Jesus didn't say, do you feel it? He said, do you believe it? Didn't just say, Satan, you lying devil, I believe what God says. You're defeated. Sit on, do you? In all the gaining there pretty close now. Even some flowers around home. It's been so warm there. But now, you know what that shows? That there is a resurrection.
Can the clouds start there? That's how it is with God.
Same.
It's fresh like spring. You won't.
Father, we thank you for tonight. We pray that what we said has been needful. We've tried to express, Lord, what is in our heart. And to knowing that we're not capable of fighting against the devil. But you don't expect us to do that. You expect us to do one thing, and that's to yield to you. You expect us to believe what you say. So we thank you. We believe your word. And thank you, Lord, for revealing it unto us. Because only the revealed word will Satan back off from. And Lord, as this bride in the end times becomes the word made flesh, Satan is defeated. And he's bound to where that he cannot affect us in our soul. And by the revealed word, you're binding him even in our bodies, in our spiritual being. Just bless the people on the way home, and may we think about these things, Lord, as we travel the highways. Give everybody a safe journey, Lord, and guide us all. Bring us back together in you. Lord, just have your way. Be with Wade as he travels this weekend, Lord. Just let your love be made manifest. We love you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, you're dismissed.
If this year really is the greatest year.